Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
A lot to discuss across the NFL today. John McClain's ready to do that with you. It's 615-737-1045, our number. 737-1045, if you'd like to jump in. Hit the big headlines with John McClain today. John joins us from Houston. What's up, John?
All kind of good things. If you're from Houston, Astros just swept the Indians, waiting to see if they play Paul's Yankees or they play the Red Sox. Tough order for the Yankees to now have to win two in a row over the Red Sox. If the Astros play the Yankees, they get home field advantage. If they play the Red Sox, they do not. But the Astros were 30 games over 500 on the road this year, played better on the road at home. So it doesn't seem to be that big a deal. But people are pumped, and they're even more pumped because the Texans beat the Cowboys and have bragging rights down here for 4 years.
So, John, let's start with that Texans win over the Cowboys. What do you think of Garrett's decision not to go for it, to punt it away, but then Jerry Jones actually criticizing that decision after the game?
Yeah, Jerry goes, I'm not criticizing, but, you know, we were being outplayed. I thought we should have gone for it. Ezekiel Elliott just got stuffed on third and one. Texans were playing really well against Elliott. He was averaging 5.8 yards coming in. He was averaging 2.7 yards per carry. His yards per catch was less than half of his season average. So I guess he thought, even though the odds of them making short yardage with Elliott has been really good, the percentage, you know, over the last three seasons, that he was playing defensively. And, of course, it backfired when Deshaun Watson connected with DeAndre Hopkins to set up the game-winning touchdown for the second week in a row.
615-737-1045. You can jump in and talk some NFL with John McClain. We have not taken calls yet today. Phone lines are now open. 737-1045, 737-1045.
John, this week we get to see Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs against New England. That should be quite the game on Sunday night.
I thought that Jacksonville would have made a better game out of it at Arrowhead because of their defense. The Jaguars intercepted Mahomes twice. He ran for a touchdown. I don't think he had a touchdown pass, threw for 315 yards, and they still beat the Jaguars decisively. And a lot of that had to do with their defense, which had not been very good. Now, with their defense playing well, they go to Gillette Stadium with a chance to beat the Patriots. I never pick against the Patriots, and I'm not when they play at home. Actually, I don't think I ever pick against them. And so I'm picking New England, and I think if the Patriots beat the Chiefs, then it's going to be more of a story about we wrote off the Patriots too soon, as we always do when they start slow, rather than the Chiefs have suffered their first defeat.
John, Drew Brees last night, of course, the story. You know, we've talked about it today, but when you just look back at his career, how improbable some of it was, and what a story of overcoming adversity early in his career.
Well, I'm sorry if some of the stuff I'm going to tell y'all you've already talked about. One part, I know you haven't, because I just learned it yesterday, and I thought I knew just about everything about Brees. When Yahoo did a great story, went back to Austin, and they went back to when he was a backup junior varsity quarterback to a kid who was a star and was the designated next star at Westlake High School, one of the top programs in Texas. But the kid ahead of him blew out his knee, and they had to start Drew on the junior varsity, even though he was skinny, he was small, he'd come from a Catholic private school, he didn't know the system they played, and he was a better baseball, basketball, and golfer than he was at football. But then when he had to play for that JV, he was great. and they went undefeated. And the head coach of the high school, they interviewed him, and then he went up and Drew got him to the state playoffs. And he blew out his knee, came back the next season, led them to a 15-0 record in a state championship in Class 6A. And he didn't get one offer from a school in Texas. And his parents both went to A&M, so he grew up an Aggie fan, but they lived in Austin. He wanted to play there. Neither one offered him a scholarship, but because he threw the ball a lot, Joe Tiller from Purdue saw him, came down, convinced him to come to Indiana, and the rest is history. And then I saw a thing on ESPN this morning. One of their announcers made an egregious mistake. He said Nick Saban did not want Drew Brees. He wanted Dante Culpepper when he was head coach of the Dolphins, which is not true. He wanted Drew Brees. The GM said, we don't think he's coming back from this shoulder surgery, so we're going to sign Dante Culpepper, who was coming off a knee injury and was never the same. And Nick has always lamented the fact that he didn't get Brees. Had he gotten Brees, he might never have gone to Alabama.
He's probably still coaching in Miami.
Exactly, because the Brees, and I will say this, Sean Payton and he have been tremendous together. Brees wants to play a few more years. And, you know, other than that shoulder surgery, he has not had an injury issue. And I don't think the Bensons will fire Payton as long as Brees is there, because you don't want to mess with success. They're averaging 40.3 points in their four victories. And they lead the NFL in scoring now. The Rams have scored at least 33 points in every game, and now they're third in scoring. Kansas City second. And Brees, when he was with San Diego, Marty Schottenheimer loved him. A.J. Smith fell in love with Philip Rivers from North Carolina State, drafted Manning, engineered the deal with the Giants to get Rivers. He and Schottenheimer fought over it. GM had control, let Drew get away, and it wasn't a bad decision. I mean, Rivers has been great, also very durable, but I often wondered if Marty Schottenheimer had won that, Drew would have stayed there, and because of Marty's run-first philosophy, maybe he would have adapted, but Drew wouldn't be about to own all every record that Peyton Manning has set playing for a conservative coach like that.
John, I'm looking at the NFC North. Certainly didn't expect the Bears on top at 3-1. Packers 2-2-1. Vikings 2-2-1. Lions 2-3. Some good talent there, some disappointing losses, some surprising wins. I'm wondering at this stage how you're feeling about these teams has changed to this point.
Minnesota started 2-2 last year, turned it around, ended up playing great. I saw a stat over the weekend that I believe the Packers are 43-43 over the last 86 regular season games. That's kind of hard to believe. And I'm not sure I'm buying into the Bears and Trubisky as being the best team in the division. Because of Aaron Rodgers, I think I would still go with Green Bay. But Minnesota's defense has not been like it was last year. Seth played pretty well against Carson Wentz and held on to win that game at Philadelphia. But I think it's going to come down to I don't think Detroit is good enough to be in the mix, even though they just beat the heck out of the Broncos.
If you mentioned Sean Payton and sticking with him for the tenure of Drew Brees because of how well it's gone, I'm wondering, first-year GM taking over from Ted Thompson after a long time in Green Bay, if the Packers don't make a charge this year, do you think that the thinking there might be, hey, during the Aaron Rodgers era, we need to try something different before it's over? Or do you think they're married to McCarthy?
You never know what Brian Gutekunst thinks of McCarthy. He's been there, his whole career's there, and maybe he thinks McCarthy's great. Maybe he doesn't. The president of the organization, Mark Murphy, would have to sign off on that. But and I think also Aaron Rodgers, at this point of his career, I think they would talk to him about it and see what he thought. Like if he went to them and said, I have an irreparable relationship with McCarthy, we don't agree on anything, that could contribute to a decision to make a change. But according to everything that I've seen, you know, those guys have your normal disagreements that a head coach and play caller is going to have with a quarterback, but nothing that's irreparable.
John, 12 of the 16 teams in the AFC have two or three losses. How fun is this playoff race going to be overall?
Well, it's fun, but that means there's a lot of mediocre football. You know, sometime, even like Atlanta being 1-4, and it being a two-team race between New Orleans and Carolina, and the NFC South, because Atlanta's offense is so talented and explosive, Falcons are capable of winning every game, but their defense has been horrendous once those two starting safeties were gone. But it's hard to count out a lot of teams. And it just shows, like with the Texans, they've won two in a row in overtime. They host the Bills. I think because the Bills upset the Titans, that would help the coaches prepare them more for the Bills. Because with a big game here against Dallas and the build-up to that, and the next one at Jacksonville, this is your classic trap game. But I think the fact the Bills won that game will cause the players to pay more attention. Of course, Bill O'Brien wouldn't admit to any of that yesterday. But that's just a fact of life in the NFL. We see it too many times.
To the phones. We start with Donald up on line one. Hey, Donald.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing, John?
I'm great, Donald. How are you?
Just fine. I was going to get your opinion. What do you think about the Bengals this year? I see that the game got flexed with Kansas City. I see that they're going to make that a primetime game now. And, I just think that it's going to be a better year for it because of all that new blood in the company, in the team now. And I just think it's making a big difference as far as having that new blood in there instead of having a lot of that old stuff we had in there in the past.
Well, it would be a great story. You know, Ohio's focused on the Browns' comeback, and the Browns could be 4-1, if not two officials blown calls. But Cincinnati's a good story, too. Marvin Lewis went in expecting to be fired. I remember Adam Schefter said he's going to be fired. He came away with a two-year extension. It would be a great story if the Bengals won the division and actually won a playoff game for the first time under Marvin Lewis. You know, their offense is explosive. Their defensive line is really good. But there's a lot of people still very skeptical of Andy Dalton because he's played very well in stretches before and then all of a sudden had a couple of bad games in a row. So if you're a Bengals fan, I think you know what I'm talking about.
I think it was pretty – I'm buying into them a lot more than I expected to be. I don't like Dalton in a big game. Who was flexed out of that game? I'm trying to look and see. That's a good Sunday night matchup.
That was the Rams.
Garoppolo game.
Was it the Rams?
It may have been.
It's already on the list. They've already flexed it in, so I can't see what got flexed out. That's a good Sunday night game, Bengals-Chiefs.
Do you have the full list for Week 7 pulled up?
I don't. I have the Sunday night football list.
The Sunday night football list this week is Chiefs-Patriots.
Yeah.
So they're going to be on Sunday night back-to-back weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, you get what you deserve. And look, that Cowboys-Texans game, they're getting some luck now. I mean, that's not two talented teams, but it's a very compelling game.
Right.
So, you want to land in that in prime time. If it's not great teams, at least a great game.
John?
Well, it was the Cowboys, of course, the biggest draw, and that was the highest-rated game so far. Plus, it was up from the game that was there last year, all because of the Cowboys. It's too bad they limit teams. Otherwise, they just put the Cowboys on every week. TV ratings would be great. Nobody would complain about the NFL's going out of business because TV ratings were down. Paul, you weren't born then, but when I was a kid, growing up in Waco, Yankees were on every Saturday.
Yeah.
And Falstaff Game of the Week, Dizzy Dean and Pee Wee Reese, and that's how so many people around the country became Yankee fans. And if the Yankees got rained out, it was depressing because you didn't get to see Mickey Mantle and Roger Maris and Whitey Ford and all those great Yankees.
It was Rams-Niners this week, okay, which is a good game if Jimmy Garoppolo is not on IR.
Brian is next. Hey, Brian.
Hey, boys. What's happening? You know, John, you were talking about my Bears earlier. I think we're just happy at this point because normally coming off the bye week, we were coming off a loss in the bye week, losing to the bye week somehow. But I was calling in to talk about Drew Brees. And, you know we can always play the what-if game, what if this would have happened. But I think it's interesting to go back and look at that whole situation with him in San Diego. 2004, they draft Eli, only to trade him to New York. Philip Rivers comes in, and then a year later, Drew Brees is gone. But looking back, do you think that the Chargers regret letting Drew Brees go? I know there was an injury concern, but thinking about where he is now and thinking about what those teams are, do you think all the teams involved in that whole situation are happy with their decision? And if not, then, well, what do you think? How do you think would have went? But that's all I got. I'll be good.
Okay, thank you. I addressed this earlier, and I'm happy to do it again. Marty Schottenheimer was the coach, and he loved Brees. And the problem is Marty was, you know, a old-school run-first coach. Now, he clashed with the general manager. He wanted Brees. A.J. Smith wanted Philip Rivers. He orchestrated that deal to get Rivers. And I think the best thing that ever happened to Drew was the shoulder injury, because it got him away from Schottenheimer, and maybe they would have understood the importance of the passing game there. They certainly have no regrets with Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, I think it's win-win in the long run. I mean,
you're right.
What are the odds
you're
a
right.
team had two great quarterbacks who went on to, you know, double-digit years, careers? And Rivers has been a durable guy out there. He's been in some tough situations now with the move and the like. The Chargers underachieve a lot, but he's had a hell of a career, too.
He has, and he's 36 years old, never had a major injury, and he can play another 5 or 6 years as well.
How about the draft of the Chargers, though? Because they also traded away the pick that allowed Atlanta to end up with Michael Vick in exchange for the pick that where they took LaDainian Tomlinson. So they had Tomlinson and Brees.
First pick in the second round.
Yeah. Let's go to David next. Hey, David.
Hey, John. You were talking about the Nick Saban story, and I had heard, I think it was Kevin Carter on the radio a while back, and he was on that Dolphins team, and he was saying the same thing. I think he said that Saban went to the offense and pretty much asked him who they wanted, and everybody said they wanted Brees, and so he was that's who he wanted. When they told him Culpepper, he said that right then and there, Saban was out. He was done.
Well, you know, people won games in the NFL with Dante Culpepper.
Yeah, but he was coming off that major knee operation, and I believe he did not rehab with the team the way they wanted. There was something around about it. He had some guy doing the rehab, and it never worked out the way they wanted. I think Randy Mueller was the general manager of the Dolphins at the time, and he's the one that went for Culpepper over Brees. And it is funny to think about what-ifs. I did a thing for NFL Films on the top 10 what-ifs, and one that they didn't even have on their top 10 was what if Mo Lewis had not knocked out Drew Bledsoe.
Yeah.
You know, this one's a great one, too. You know, what if they'd have brought in the player, the quarterback that Nick Saban wanted?
I'll just say this regarding Saban, because surely if his medical people approved Brees, he would have had a much better go in Miami, and we have no idea what would have happened. It probably would have been much better for him. But he's allowed to go find and develop a quarterback like most coaches in the NFL have to do when they get hired in the league. So I'm not saying, oh, my God, he came into the league, he didn't get Drew Brees, and he was doomed to failure. Good thing he lied to everybody and went to Alabama. That's not my take on the thing. He's allowed to find and develop a quarterback when he misses out on his guy, which a lot of NFL coaches have to do.
They do, but the problem was he didn't have a say over the personnel. That was the general manager.
Hey, what's up, Corey?
Not much, guys. John, I got a few questions for you about the Falcons, man. Looking at how they played against the Steelers, do you think that they're as bad as their record indicates, or was this just a really good performance by a Steelers defense that, quite frankly, hasn't really been that great this season?
Steelers defense have been terrible. They allowed at least 400 yards in three consecutive games for the first time since 1954. And then all of a sudden they play well against the Falcons, which was kind of stunning. I thought both teams would score in the 30s. So if the Falcons offense doesn't bounce back, you got to look forward to a high draft choice, because their defense is, it might get a little better, but when you've had as many injuries as they do, they've been unable to adjust. It's going to get worse before it gets better.
I was surprised that Matt Ryan could not take advantage of the Pittsburgh secondary in this game. I thought they hit him with a variety of blitzes and pressures, and he was just uncomfortable. He sacked six or seven times, I believe.
They got a blueprint now about how to get to the Falcons, and other teams are going to do that until they prove they can beat it. Now, remember when Atlanta started and they were so bad in the red zone in that first game? Well, then they turned around the red zone at least till Sunday. So they're going to have to adapt to the strategy that the Steelers use that other teams will employ.
I think their defensive injuries are too much to overcome, and their window may have passed.
That might be the case. Let's go to Doug next up. What's up, Doug?
Hello, Mr. John. I've got a question for you. You know, it's obvious that the Titans are in desperate need of production at the wide receiver position since they've lost their tight end. But also, they have a quarterback that's not very accurate. Which do you think is the greater need or the greater problem? Wide receivers not being good, or a quarterback that doesn't have a very accurate arm? I mean, they haven't had a wide receiver that made it to the Pro Bowl, I guess, since Drew Bennett. So where is the greater need or the greater need for growth? I'll hang up and listen.
Well, first of all, thank you very much, Doug. First of all, losing Delanie Walker was, as we all know, a tremendous blow because he was Mariota's favorite target. But Corey Davis, unless I'm wrong, is emerging and showing why they drafted him in the first round last year. I was not at the Buffalo game, but looking at the stats, I was stunned. I thought Mariota had turned the corner. What happened to him against the Bills? And is that alarming?
I mean, the inconsistency continues to be alarming. He just wasn't very good. They didn't call any deep shots. They didn't call any runs for him. It wasn't their best game plan day. And then, you know, the most crucial pass of the game went to the fourth or fifth wide receiver.
He dropped it.
Booted.
He had a touchdown and he dropped it. Nick Williams. Jeff is next.
What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Jeff.
Question for John. One of these what-ifs, like you do for TV. I grew up a huge Dolphin fan, and when Marino retired, I thought his stats would hold up several years longer. What if Marino was classed 03 instead of 83? What kind of stats you think he'd be putting up in the new NFL where you can't even sneeze on a quarterback without getting a penalty? That's all I had. Thank you.
I believe that Peyton Manning would have been taping videos congratulating Dan Marino for breaking all of his records. If Marino played in this era, and he played for Shula, who changed his entire offense and went with the smaller receivers to the Marx brothers to accommodate Marino's passing, no telling what kind of records he would have set.
John, I love to play this game with putting different quarterbacks in different eras and trying to figure out who would be dominant. John Elway is another one that, if you want to talk about being in a passing era, could have been a different stat line for him also.
It would have been, and the difference is the coach. Dan Reeves was old school, a running back who came up under Tom Landry, and they never let Elway just air it out the way Shula let Marino do it. And they also did not go in and emphasize the fast, small, wide receivers who were in vogue at that time. And Warren Moon's another. Warren set every record as it was. But I'm thinking you could go back and take just about any quarterback who was a really successful passer in his era, whether it was the numbers today, like Joe Namath. Joe Namath, like so many quarterbacks, had more interceptions and touchdowns because they threw the ball down the field. You put a healthy Joe Namath today, no telling what kind of numbers he would put up.
John McClain joins us twice a week here on the Midday 180.
Let's just mention here, the caller made a general thing about the Titans wide receivers, right? Nick Williams had a terrible drop, and the wide but Tajay Sharp had a decent game, I thought. But we are 1 week removed from the wide receivers on this team accounting for 19 catches and 271 yards in a game. If you want to say the back end of the receiving corps isn't getting it done and they need to freshen that up, I buy that. But you can't say the wide receivers are doing nothing 1 week removed from 19 catches for 271 yards. Is our memory that short term?
Great point, but what have you done for me lately?
Yeah, what have you done against Buffalo, and what will you do against Baltimore?
Better have a big week against Baltimore this week. That's all I can say. There's going to be some wholesale changes. They can GTFO after this Baltimore game if they don't step it up.
I know that Robert Brazil is getting his ring, Hall of Fame ring, during the game, and I hope the fans there appreciate what a great linebacker Robert was to the Oilers. Never missed a practice, a game during his 10-year career that was cut short when his wife was killed in a car wreck. And Robert has enjoyed going in the Hall of Fame more than any player I've ever seen. Amy Adams Strunk is sending her Jets Mobile to pick up Robert and his family, which I thought was a very, very classy thing for Amy to do. And Robert is really appreciative of it. I talked to him this morning. He is so pumped about coming there and being the 12th Titan and putting that sword in the ground. So I hope everybody understands what a great, great player in the franchise's history will be in Nashville this weekend.
Very cool, the Titans. Very cool of Amy Adams Strunk. Hopefully he gets a big ovation. John, my question, how much bigger is the response to Robert Brazil if they honor him at the Texans game?
Oh, my goodness. See, I wish they'd done it when the Titans played here. To me, that would have made so much more sense. Yeah. And I don't know. Dave Baker, the president, has to go around, and maybe it had to do with schedules. But having the Titans play here and do it, it would have just been through the roof, as you guys can imagine.
John, thank you as always. And thank you for the connection with Robert Brazil, who will join us on Thursday at 1 o'clock. We're looking forward to that.
You guys will love having Robert on. He loves Amy. Said Amy's like the sister he never had. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, John.
He was a great guest for us the first time we visited with him.
He's really good.
Yep.